everybody. Welcome to Pub Table Racers number, who cares? We've been on a roll for over a year. My name is Tim Packman. Sitting next to me is, fresh off his victory as part of Team Penske at Talladega Super Speedway, is
Mark Rosell.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay, that was a great run.
Yeah.
You had a dimension at the end. 21?
21, I was pulling for him.
I know, that's your guy. I know, that's the time, the team there, but
he'll get one.
He'll get one. You know, once again, though, he's like the dejection on his face.
I like the underdog always.
Yeah, but he's tired of being an underdog. So we're good with that. Welcome to tonight's show. Warren, why do we have a bucket of beer in front of us?
We have a bucket of Miller High Life in front of us because this is Pub Table Racers.
That's
and
right.
We're going to sit at a pub table, drink beer, and talk about our guests' past, present, and future. And we drink Miller High Life because we both worked and know Bobby Allison pretty fairly well.
Yep.
And it's our beer of choice.
Here we
and
go.
And we cheers Bobby.
Cheers to Bobby. That's what we do every show. Bob Fetzer, how you doing? Okay. So our guest is Big Ed Watkins. Has a great, great story. College standout athlete. Championship Jackman. Gassman. Hendrick. Junie Donlevy. You should learn about that ahead of time. Joe Gibbs Racing.
Abraham.
Yeah. He was part of the Rainbow Warriors. This is our first Rainbow Warrior that we're going to have on, so it's kind of a big night. And we'll get to him and tell his great story. And now he's with 23X11 with Bubba Wallace. And he also owns a really killer business, which does great on Lake Norman because it's a boat business.
And a bass fisherman's boat business, and he does a great job with
and
that.
And we'll talk to him about, you know, who the guys that are working in the shop servicing. We might know some of the names that we've worked with. So tonight is brought to you by...
Hell, if this all blows up, I might have to go work on boats.
Hey, look, if this blows up, then guess what? I'll be the tester. You fix them, that's good. Tim, how come you'll have to go with a cooler or a pump table racer? We'll have a pump table racer boat. I like how this is going so far.
You need to test drive that pontoon. I got a cooler right here.
Girls, let's go. Kim, drilling, let's go. All right, so this show is brought to you by Lake Norman Patio and Game Rooms. Go see them on Brawley School Road in Mooresville here. Rapid Removal, Darren Russell, check his out. And also RacingJunk.com, check them out. And also we have The Garage Shop. Real quick, The Garage Shop. Tomorrow morning I leave on an adventure that I have no idea what's going to happen, but it's great. We are going to Blytheville, Arkansas for the East Coast Time Trial Association, East Coast Timing Association, Spring Fling Time Trials. I think I got that right.
Straight line.
Straight line, old airport. And we're going to use the airstrip. We're doing quarter, half, mile, I think maybe mile and a quarter, I think.
Aaron driving all of them?
Aaron's driving the Dodge Daytona, the Ford Talladega, and then I got our Vance Kirshner, who's a partner on the whole deal. He's going to drive as well. We got some other cars. But I'm just getting goosebumps thinking about seeing these cars that all those guys at the garage shop have been working on for months. They're finally going to cut them loose down the track. So it's going to be cool. And then we got
set some records.
I hope so. And then we're doing something pretty cool on Monday that I can't really talk about, but I'll be posting a lot of pictures. So it's going to be pretty good. It involves Talladega. That's all I'm saying. So let's get into the news of the week here before we bring that up. Talladega, big weekend. So Saturday, I didn't think we were going to race.
I had the weather on and the radar, and it was pretty messy below Talladega.
Right.
And they got their NASCAR window and pretty much went
unbelievable.
Went racing.
I was doing stuff around the house, and I'm like, okay, let me just see what they did for postponing when they're going to be. And they're like 20 laps into it. So I said, oh, no. So I go running down, go check it out, and I had to watch Andy Jankowiak from Buffalo area, modified standout, and he finished seventh. Did we had to do and good. So that's two races, two top tens, Daytona and Talladega. So congrats to him. Corey Himes, the winner, and we're going to give you an update. The fire, Derek Lancaster. So that was bad. That was scary.
So the one thing we all know about composite bodies is that unlike steel, they will burn.
Right.
And when you get an oil leak, that stuff's going to start on fire and it's going to burn and it's not good to breathe.
Right.
And it's just not good with fire.
No.
And hopefully someone looks into that and comes up with a little bit better. Either we got to protect the oil lines better,
because
that was oil.
And the engine's still pumping the oil.
Pumping oil. That was oil that started the fire. And we either got to put them fires out better with a better fire bottle system, or they're going to have to do something to this composite stuff, because everybody's going to be composite here sooner or later.
And that's why we're bringing it up.
And we're going to have to put it out, or so, they're going to have troubles.
So the fire bottles, there's one that goes off with heat, and it goes towards the back, points towards the fuel of the trunk.
The driver can do one.
And the driver can do one as well. But if the driver is incapacitated, he can't do one. So
I think they all need to go off with heat, and they maybe need to have a couple sprayers in a couple different spots.
Yeah.
My opinion.
No, I get it. So we're looking at that. So an update on Derek. His wife's been posting. They put him in a sedated coma, and he's slowly coming out of it. He's opening his eyes, and they're weaning him off the oxygen. Second and third degree burns on his hands, face, and I think they said his arms. So that's something to look at there. On the way to Arkansas tomorrow, we're stopping at this guy's house. His nickname was Jaws. We're going to stop and interview him. So that'll be fun.
Okay.
Andy bought a new car today. Okay, Andy J, we'll see. So that race went, and Corey Heim, and then the Xfinity race. So the weather's still looking good.
Yep.
And as the race is going on, now they're racing each other, fuel, and
so
weather.
And weather. So, and what I liked about that race is, you know, as big as that place is, and the way the weather works down there, you could see this sheet, this cloud coming. You could see the rain coming. You could see it. They were showing. I mean, I'm watching on TV, but you know, they showed it coming, and I mean, I'm happy for Jeb Burton.
Yep.
It was.
Hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
But it wasn't like he locked in it. He was running in top five, top ten.
You got to be up front to win.
Yep. And the story about him is, you know, he's been through the ups, the downs. He's taken single rides. He's taken less than stellar rides. Colleague Racing gave him the opportunity this year. He's the son of Ward Burton.
Yeah.
And he gets the win. I don't care what. It's a win's a win.
It's a win.
That's it. So congrats to him.
Two fathers that have done very well in the sport, mm-hmm. and now two cousins.
Right. Two cousins.
Does that make sense?
That's fine.
That both are winners.
So Harrison and him, yeah, now the winners. So the family legacy continues.
Christmas dinner will be fun.
All right, so it was good. And Harrison, that. So we have that. And then we come to the cup race on Sunday. Beautiful weather. Sunny as can be.
Yeah, everything moved out.
They said they sold 30% tickets. I'm telling you, every ticket was sold, and the infield looked jammed. It's good to see fans are coming back.
Yeah, it looked like there was a lot of fans there to me. So, I was surprised.
And Mike Joy had a great line. He says, you know why it says this is Talladega on the wall? So when you wake up on Friday or Saturday morning after partying in the infield, you can look out and go, oh, I'm in Talladega.
you realize where you're at.
Mike Joy making a party joke. Kind of funny right there. So
don't drag your grill in your tent if it gets cold.
That. No, we don't do that. We talked about that. Yeah, don't do that ever. Cup race gets going. Joey has a
right over. I mean, it's just a product. I don't, you know, he even said it, it's not Denny. That's just a product of that racing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're so tight, everybody's wide open. One little move, one little mistake, one little arrow, you know, flubber off the car, and you're sideways and you're wrecking. In my opinion, they're going too fast.
Yeah.
It seemed like to me years ago, and we were keeping them under 200, around that 190 range, that they wouldn't blow over as much. Now you see them, we're over 200, and in a draft, and they're starting to get airborne again, and that's never good.
No.
And he was very lucky.
And he was very, very adamant about what he said later.
Right.
Which he's entitled to.
Some people complain that he's whining and this and that, blah, blah, blah.
He's in that car.
I mean,
it's his life in there.
You know, Ryan Newman had a worse situation, mm-hmm. but with the same, it was because of the same problems. Right. The cars are lifting off.
Way too fast.
We got to stop the cars from lifting off. We got to keep them on the ground. And then there's less. You're less likely to crush the roof halo and not be able to get your window net down.
Right, and there was photos that came out today of
safety crews did cut the window net.
Right. So those things they have to address. I mean, we all like the racing there. It's interesting, but
It's fun.
But the cost, you know, we don't want.
Is
the cost.
It cool to see him fly? Yeah, no, as long as you're not in the car.
No, right.
You know, Joey didn't think it was too cool. I'm sure Bubba didn't think it was too cool when he's seen this car coming at him like this. You know, if that hits him in the windshield,
guess what?
Yeah, his
day's done.
You know, something could go through that there. Windshield, and he could be severely hurt.
And we will bring on his gas man to talk about that.
Yeah, we will.
Pretty good. Okay, so we have the winner. The Benedetto at the end there, I thought, man, and I just wish, and this is nothing against Martin, but to have that tire casing come off like that, come on, man. Like, I want to see him running down, run it to the end. We always have this green-white checker, and it stinks at the end. But that is what it is.
Well, you know, and the end probably might have not played out anyways without the tire.
Sure.
I'm a firm believer that you do not want to be in first place at that at those speedway races. You want to be about third or fourth,
right?
And because you're going to watch second and first make their beds, and then you're going to be the I'm just going to say that you know numero uno is not always the place to be there. You're kind of a duck.
And a shout out to Kaz Grala. Worked his way through there, top 10 out of the whole deal, and it's like, whoa, there you go. But that's Talladega. Real quick follow-up on the Jennifer Jo Cobb. We talked about her last week, what happened at Talladega. Kelly Crandall, racer.com, I'm going to post it later, wrote an awesome story about Jennifer's background, what she went through, her feelings and emotions through the last week. And it just kind of basically spells out that Jennifer said, look, if I can't race, great, but what is the... Not great, but I get it. But what is the protocol?
Yeah.
What is the defined way that how you can get in there? So Kelly Crandall's a two-time award-winning writer, so multiple. But, go to racer.com. So she got to speak. She finally, you know, got to speak her side of the story.
Well, and that's good, and, you know, because I'm going to say there's not a, you know, I got to say it like this. That whole field isn't full of great drivers.
No. We did. I went through the stats. I went through them last week.
And you got to give these people who come to your race and help you field cars
in other series.
Yeah, you got to give them a little bit of, you know,
credit,
benefit of the doubt too. You know.
Okay. Real quick, as you can see, we have merchandise, folks. Shameful plug time. So Warren designed. By the way, I was told to remind you that it was Geraldine's idea to do the bucket with her logo on.
Okay. She
asked me to slide that in there. But we have the tumblers. We have the hats. Hats right there. T-shirts right there. T-shirts right there. PubTableRacers.com merchandise. Click. We sold a couple last week. So they're available. They make great. What's the next holiday coming up?
President's
Day. Arbor Day.
Yeah.
They make great Arbor Day gifts. And then Father's Day, Mother's Day. All right, I think
Mother's
it's time.
Day.
Yeah, I think
that's
it's time.
A big one. Sure,
right? Let's bring it on. Ready to go?
Yeah, we need time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this guy we're bringing up, he is one of the original Rainbow Warriors.
Right.
College athlete standout. Went to Junie Donlevy for free. Hendrick Motorsports, Ray Everham, Everham Motorsports, Joe Gibbs Racing, multiple championships, multiple Daytona 500s. His name is Big Ed Watkins, and in about 2 seconds you're going to see why, because he comes up.
Yeah.
He's also the owner of Ed Watkins Marine. And he's also a speaker and a coach, and does a great job of that. Man,
and
this is your time to come join us.
So
we are going to be dwarfed.
Yeah,
we're going to think it's eclipse here. We're going to be not even exist anymore.
This guy is longevity and the pit crew side of it is.
There you go.
almost unheard of.
There you go. Ed, thanks for joining us. By the way, as a treat when you come on the show, we invite you to join us.
Thanks for coming.
Frosty
Miller
Highlights character.
Wait.
Jeez, I was working on it like a nothing.
Let me grab you one.
I'm at the pub. Hey guys, great guys.
A lot of history.
My day is complete.
How many times you and I worked together? We were trying to
That's
not even on my resume. That's good. First of all, welcome. Pop your top down.
Absolutely.
You want to toast your arrival?
Cheers.
Cheers, you guys.
Cheers.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for
coming.
Guys,
twisted my arm already.
That's such a choice thing. All right, so you come from, where's your hometown, and how the hell did you get in racing, buddy?
Born and raised in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
And pretty much grew up loving racing.
Right.
Grew up screwing up my mom's and dad's car, trying to figure out how a carburetor works. I'll never forget a 1976 Chevrolet Impala with the big block 454
We quadra jet on it. We call them quadra junk.
Damn hood was the size of an aircraft carrier landing deck. So what did I decide when I was age 8? I'm going to pull the damn carburetor apart, figure out how some bitch works, get some more power so mama can take me to Baskin Robbins a lot faster.
And how'd that work out?
I ended up missing half the parts of the float. Lost half the parts of all the jetting.
Perfect.
Ended up dumping raw fuel into the intake. Mom tried to fire the thing up to take me to church one morning. Ended up blowing fire farts out of the tailpipe. Scared the daylights out of her.
Kind of like the Batmobile? So at that point, you realized, okay, maybe mechanics isn't my thing right there.
Attention to detail, right? I always speak about attention to detail. From that point on, right. I learned the hard way about attention to detail.
So as you're getting older, you're in high school and everything, still following, liking racing and everything, and obviously sports had to be a big part of your
sports were absolutely
You know, I'm looking at you now. Did you play the whole line, half the line, or part of the line?
Wherever I could go, and the band was at, and the cheerleaders, and the fans, and all the Friday night hits,
Friday night lights, right?
Friday night lights, that smell of that fall air. Count me in. I'm right there.
And the racing part, you were just a fan of the stand?
Racing, something that I always loved. Mm-hmm. I remember going, since I was knee high, to a grasshopper to...
Three days?
Yeah. To the old fairgrounds.
I was 19.
At Richmond. And Southside Speedway.
Right.
Probably just a few miles down the road. South Boston. South Boston. Mm-hmm. And... like we were talking about seeing just, you know, Tommy Ellis, all these guys, the old Goo cluster car running around at South Boston. I love the smell.
Houston, right?
Yes, yes.
Wow. And so you're
from that point on, just hooked.
So as you go high school, you're still on racing, you go to college, and you go to NC State, right?
East Hope.
Okay. What?
Go Pirates.
I knew that. So Pirates. I just want to see the reaction. Purple, go Purple. I got it. So now you're playing football there.
Yes. Yeah. Ended up playing ball at ECU and, talking about just, you know, it's amazing. Life is all about timing. It's all about being with the right people at the right time. That was a perfect opportunity. It was all the coaches that were just one stepping stone away from hitting it big. I remember our defensive coordinator was Chuck Pagano. Chuck Pagano ended up becoming Peyton Manning's head coach for the Indianapolis Colts. Coach Jagosinski, he was my offensive line coach. He ended up becoming the head football coach at Boston College for Matt Ryan.
Wow.
Defensive line coach, Coach Cliff was, Yoshida was Bruce Smith's defensive line coach at Virginia Tech. So all these guys, everything just came together. We had studs, great team, great chemistry, great coaching staff. Right. And the next thing you know, ECU just takes off in the mid-90s. They had that killer year where they beat NC State in the Peach Bowl.
Right.
And then the whole 90s, mid-90s, when I was there, they were being top 25, going to bowl games, kicking butt, and having fun.
So from that, I mean, so your concept of...
I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to say it like this. At that point, you're not... you're already getting acclimated to winning and kicking ass.
And the concept of teamwork.
Which is cool, you know, because we all talk about, you know, winning is why we want to do this.
Yes.
You know, it's winning. Winning gives you the goosebumps. It gives you the drive, and it helps you get up in the morning and hopefully not be an ass.
Right.
You know.
It does.
So at what point? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
At what point do you all of a sudden say, you know what, I want to get into this racing thing? I've been following it for so long, because we all have that moment. Like, I grew up in it, you know, you grew up in it, but I never thought I could turn into a job. And when I was 20 years old, I said, I'm going to make a career out of this, and went back to school and, you know, did it. But so at what point does the racing come in for you?
Finished up my eligibility, finished up in 96. And of course I was born and raised outside of Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
So went back home, had about 3 weeks off for Christmas break that time. We were 1996. Let me just kind of talk about that year for football. We were like 14th or 15th in the country, but because we were independent, us and Notre Dame were the two independents. But since little ECU in Eastern North Carolina wasn't in a major conference, we got looked over for a bowl game that year, which totally to this day has everyone just questioning, how did a team that was top 15 in the country get looked at? Well, we were independent. We weren't secured in a bowl. Right. And of course, back then, there weren't as many bowls.
Yep, and how they ran that.
As they are now. Yeah. You only had, like, you went to a bowl game back then. That was pretty damn stout.
That's right, yeah.
So we didn't make a bowl that year. The previous years, we went to the Liberty Bowl, which was pretty cool. But went home, and what's any good college guy do when he got 3 weeks off?
Let's
Let's go figure out how to go to work.
Oh, I didn't do that.
So, sorry. My boy Judy Donlevy, it was down in Richmond, and the number 90 Hylett Myers Ford Thunderbird. And I had kind of been speaking with Junie. I met Junie.
Is Mike Wallace driving that at the
time? Dick Trickle.
Dick Trickle. Good Wisconsin guy.
Yeah, this was right after Mike Wallace.
Okay, did you have to put a lighter in the dash?
Yeah, he had, of course, he had the
smoky trees.
He had his cigarette and pocket in his
had a spot
fire
for,
suit.
For everything
fire.
Up on the dash. So ended up working Christmas time for free just to be able to start holding, touching a jacket, a dump can, just to be able to start getting experience and reps and work for free. Ended up getting pit practice, got acclimated with it, started the season off traveling with those guys as a second can man, actually. So came right out of the gates at 22 years old and had worked in the shop for about a month for free.
Right.
And off to Daytona we go. So I would drive back to Richmond where their team was and then ride in their van down to Daytona.
Oh,
I was like, man, this is big time. This is big time. So, I got a Hylett Myers hat and a race day shirt.
Race day shirt.
So, and a pair of mechanics wear.
Maybe a one polo.
So right. I was money. I was like, damn, I'm
so,
freaking Winston Cup
racing. And you're 22. You're what? You're 6'5".
Yeah.
And what? Maybe 245.
Some 250, 280, somewhere, give or take 30 pounds.
And all, it's all, you know.
Yeah. So we start the season off. And I'm driving back and forth from ECU and all this, that, and the other. And one thing led to the other and ended up busting my butt for Junie. And Tommy Baldwin came on board as our crew chief that year. We ran like third or fourth at Talladega that year. And ended up one thing leading to the other. And I said, you know what? It's time for me to go to Charlotte.
Okay.
So Big Ed's going to go to Charlotte. So I'm in Greenville, North Carolina, which is 4 hours from Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still a full-time student at ECU, but I'd set all my classes, since football eligibility had finished up,
You're going to college and you're doing this racing thing. Okay, I got you.
So I go from working for free, sleeping the floors, and doing tear down and any other thing.
Whatever,
I'd
like to say
out.
You were a roofer. You did everything from the roof down. Whatever they told you
Watch
to do.
Watch the show, he slides in, folks.
I tried it, because that's how we all started.
Yeah, yeah. So nothing's handed. Nothing was handed.
There was none of this, I put that right side window in, or I put that crush pan. No, you
paid
you're going to sweep the floor, you're going to wax the car, you're going to clean the toilets, It was everything.
That was the first time I learned about how explosive a rear gear at Martinsville can be. We were, I was a part of the road crew. I was a volunteer part of the road crew, but also was underneath mechanic, believe it or not, at that time. And that's when we were running a lot of petroleum-based rear gear oil.
Yeah.
And you remember when you'd start overheating a rear gear, and the first thing would do when you would go in behind the wall to change that rear gear out if you ended up burning it out, as soon as you cracked that pumpkin open at Bellhouse, get
fire.
Air up in there, you end up
with a flash.
That was the first time I saw one of those. I'm still missing eyebrows.
So you're going to Charlotte, and you decide to go to not just any team. You went to
Hendrick Motorsports.
There you go. Go big or go home.
Because as a child, I remember how to get there. So I was like, well, let's go to the place that I remember how to get there. And oh, by the way, in 97, they weren't doing really too shabby.
Right.
So let's go big or go home.
Right.
Ended up pulling into Hendrick Motorsports, knocked on the door. Nobody answered. I'm like, what kind of place is this? Dude's banging on the door. If you weren't freaking digging, you weren't belonging.
Right.
All of a sudden, I went and hit another door. Andy Graves comes to me and says, son, what are you doing out here? And luckily, I knew who Andy was. I said, Mr. Graves, I'm Ed Watkins, finished up football at ECU, played center. I want to be part of the pit crew. And he says, I'll be dog. He says, Ray, right over there, he's putting together a brand new pit crew.
Okay.
Probably want to talk to you.
And you said Ray.
Perfect.
Did you know Ray he had, or just?
I knew. Well, I had a general idea of who he was talking about.
But I like how he went, he shot for the moon. He's sure, just like, I'm going to go knock on his door.
They're not going to find you.
Right. Yeah.
Andy Graves, he had Budweiser stuff on at the time. He was on the 25. Okay. He was crew chief on the 25. He ends up taking me over back around the building, and I said, man, this guy's really pulling my leg. We're going behind the building. But back then, that's where they didn't have truck bays.
Thought you were going to get a long wait.
A long wait. Yeah. That's
you
a
had to go
one.
Get one?
Yeah. I had to get a long wait. About 98 or 97 or 98, I went on a long wait.
Got it.
All right. Anyways.
And that was after I had to go find the muffler bearer.
What they're talking about is mythical things that newbies in racing are sent to find, and they send you from team to team to team before someone finally pulls aside and says, hey, man, you're getting
referred
to
it as the rookie hazing process. Hazing, yes, right. You know?
But go ahead. So you go around back, and there is...
Well, that's where the trucks were, because there was no truck bay back then. Okay. So you had the 25, the 24, because they were kind of in that same general area in front of what we called Break Clean Pond. And... all of a sudden, you could hear a shot dyno running inside the 24, and we go bebopping up in there. Yeah, there's this tall, skinny guy standing there, just looking pissed off at the world, right. Just going through notes, you know, because he was mad, because he didn't sit on the pole. He didn't lead every race. I think he won, but they didn't lead enough laps, so he was pissed off.
Right. Mad as a rattlesnake.
Mad as a rattlesnake, trying to figure out their shot package for, I believe it was Charlotte, for probably the All-Star race that particular year. He was running through all kinds of stuff, and you could see he's really, really focused in on that. And Andy Graves comes in and says, Ray, got somebody that was banging on the front door you might want to talk to. So, you know, that really kind of set off that much more of a nagging type of, reaction from him. So here I am, 22 years old, and I look right at him, and I'm like, God, this man is tall and skinny. He's a lot skinnier in real life than he is on TV.
Right. He looked at you and said, oh my God, I better talk to this guy. Right. He's 6'5", right. And he's blocking all the light from the back of the hauler. But go ahead.
So I look right at him. I said, Mr. Everham, Ed Watkins, played football at ECU. Hey, listen to me. I want to be part of your pit crew.
Right.
And he said, oh, you do? And I said, oh boy, here we go. And he said, well, first off, he says, my name's not Mr. Everham. And I was like, bullshit. I was like, this guy, I know exactly who this guy is.
Right.
And he said, that's my dad.
Okay, perfect.
And he said, you can call me Ray.
All right, that's a good start.
I said, all right. We're starting to lay the groundwork for establishing a good line of communication.
Yeah, perfect,
And moving forward. And that basic interview went from, all right, we're practicing tomorrow. We're putting this pit crew concept together where we're having to start to transition shop guys and road mechanics away from the pit crew, and we're starting to bring in young guys.
Well, sure, and he was. If you think about that Rainbow Warrior thing, he was one of the first ones that started to push the athletes and more of the independentness of the crew chief of the pit crews
away from the shop.
Yeah.
So go ahead. So now you're doing it.
And he invited me for practice the next day. So I was like, fantastic.
Thank you, Mr. Everham.
My house is 4 hours away, and I just landed this gig and have nowhere to stay. So
what'd you do?
What do we do? I ended up going back up the hill, because back then it was a little gas station.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it was Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yeah,
and that was about it. So I didn't want to...
You just hung out at Baby Dolls for... No. Never mind that.
Right. Go ahead.
Ended up going, got something at the gas station up there at the top of the hill. Right. It was whatever mini mart it was. And I ended up spending the night in the parking lot at Hendrick Motorsports in my 1987 Ford Bronco.
How comfortable was that?
I still have the pains. You're
comfortable. Yeah, go ahead.
But I didn't, it was basically I had acquired enough. Time to skip class, and that was an opportunity.
You didn't go to Baby Dolls at all?
No, I was pretty good. God, I didn't have enough money to get in. I was living on penny draft back then.
Oh, yeah.
So, spent the night in the parking lot at Hendrick Motorsports, probably May of 1997. Everybody came rolling in the next morning, started hearing everybody rolling in. So Went back up to the same gas station and took a sink bath, kind of got freshened up.
Yeah,
and
roll.
Put a different ECU football shirt on because the one that I had on the day before was all sweaty from sleeping in.
Okay, got
it. You know, in your truck, you know. So freshened up, put a new ECU football shirt on,
you know,
and right back to Hendrick Motorsports and off with the guys. Very first pit practice. And from that point, that was a Thursday.
Right.
Got a itinerary, made it to the flight, my first flight. So it was
got hired
for free.
Wow. Okay. Got it. Go ahead.
So got hired for free.
You're pro bono again? You're working pro bono again?
Well, here's where it gets good. So I show myself because of basically all the time that I started traveling and acquiring time at the track. I ended up, after about a few weeks, because I was driving 4 hours back and forth, and I'm like, hey, this guy's panning out pretty good.
Yeah.
I really don't think we're going to be able to get rid of him. So I put Ray in a really bad spot of having to figure out what's he going to do with me.
Right.
Yeah.
So through the graces of God, he had a weakness against, I guess he acquired a little bit of just feeling sorry for me, I guess, and wanted to help me.
Right.
So he picked up my gas bill, my fuel bill for driving back and forth,
right,
and like a Subway sandwich. So I was big time. So I was getting a reimbursement check.
For your lunch?
Oh, exactly. For driving, because I was having to drive.
Sandwich construction over there.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah. I worked there. I remember that.
So I was driving 4 hours back and forth on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It had been 8 hours round trip, 4 hours one way. But I was big time. I was getting my fuel bill reimbursed, and I was getting a Subway sandwich for free.
Right.
And I got the hat and the t-shirt to show it. And I was off traveling on the weekends.
And bragging rights at school.
And bragging rights at school.
So that started. So then at what point did they bring you on full time?
98 was
so
when.
When did it start though?
97.
So you did how long with.
About a year, almost about a year.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Ray, you took advantage of the poor guy, okay? Jeez, so go ahead.
I think you made up for it.
I know. It's a little sarcasm, yeah, but go ahead.
It's barcasm.
Are you ready for an upgrade? Need to refresh that patio? Want to add more fun to your home? Lake Norman Patio and Game Rooms makes it fun to stay at home. We offer a huge selection of high-quality outdoor furniture, pool tables, shuffleboard, ping pong, and much, much more. Your oasis awaits. So don't miss the boat. Take your patio or game room up to the next level. Lake Norman Patio and Game Rooms. Stop in today or visit us online at lknpatio.com.
Now, so 98, they say, come on, you're on.
Yep, yep. Things started panning out.
And
actually became, in 98 was Jeff Gordon. Okay. 97, 98,
Jeff
Gordon.
Gordon.
And 99. And then 2000... Abraham Motorsports days and transitioned into that.
Right. So you said that you told us earlier about how you in 2000 when the Ray Abraham Motorsports, you watched that happen.
Yes. It
so
was the
shared. I mean,
you know, we didn't have the J skis, we didn't have the stuff online.
Sure, yep.
It was pretty much what Speed Sport magazine, mm-hmm. and that was how we were able to keep
Winston
up with
Cup
stuff.
Scene.
And inside Winston Cup,
Cup
I was
on Sunday on TNN. So the rumor, of course, all that, you know, everybody remembers the new manufacturer coming in.
Right.
Yeah.
Things will be different. Next year, things will be different.
Yeah.
It's this big red Dodge Intrepid all in your face. I remember seeing billboards all through Charlotte.
Oh, sure.
Next year, things will be different. And sure enough, Dodge came to Ray to put him together for the flagship leader of the introduction to Dodge and the motorsports. I'll never forget seeing, we were at pit practice, seeing Ray in his blue Chevy Blazer, pulls out and leaves in the middle of pit practice and comes back about an hour later in a brand new cherry red Dodge Durango. And it's,
well,
he gets
go.
Out and it's like, game on. They know what's here happening
here. Here we are.
And shortly after that, started seeing him loading his office, putting the stuff up, and
that
was the beginning of Everham Motorsports.
Got it. So you worked there for a while, and then you worked your way towards, I mean, that went away. What driver did you work for there?
Bill Elliott.
Bill Elliott, right.
And then Casey Kane, Jerry Mayfield.
Okay, so you were there for that whole, now were you Gasman then, or Jackman?
Jackman.
Jackman, okay.
Yeah, yeah, I was Jackman from the very start of 97 up to 2010.
Okay. And when you made the transition, was it something you just said, hey, look, is it something you asked for or that you noticed that?
Well, it was something I always loved about fueling because I started at Junie Donlevy's handing fuel in.
Right.
So that was kind of my first intimate interaction with pit equipment. Right. And I remember, later on at Hendrick, seeing, all these fabricators that could take a fuel probe and just gut a fuel probe and take a fuel probe from flowing 8 seconds to flowing 5 seconds. Yeah. It's fascinating. I just love that, where you're taking a gravity-fed dump can, and through gutting the can and doing work with the probes, you're increasing the flow rate exponentially. But mm-hmm. I always had a thing for gassing. And okay. when the development of the sport changed, safety, I guess, was pretty much the biggest driver. So from 2010 to 2011, they eliminated the catch can man.
Yeah, me.
So then that put the gas man on the island. So
I'm sorry, I got to interject. Actually eliminated me when Shaggy, the kid on the 20,
right.
could put the wrench. He's 6'5 or whatever, and he could put the wedge wrench in.
He could about wipe the grill too back there.
Yeah, and he's catching gas, and he put the wedge wrench in, and they're like, "Ooh, that's a good idea." They kind of looked at me and like,
"Hey, 5'6."
Hey, we think we're going to leave you back at the shop.
You're a great fabricator. Right. You're very important to this team.
Right. It used to be you wanted a little catch can guy so that other guys could get around
you. Now. Yeah, you want a Daytona 500 doing that. So
I did. Yeah. I'm good with it. I got. I had my day in the sun.
I don't know how many times you'd look down pit road in the 20 that Shaggy was on that back then. You could see double adjustments. They were making double adjustments. And he had that back window glass like it was his office. And he was putting wrenches and double adjustments and doing all this, knocking rounds out.
While he's guessing?
He's got the catch can
plugged in, and he's doing, doing work. And it's like, I got to get a monkey to sit on
that's huge
shoulders.
Because back then you had either your carrier or your jack man having to do that stuff.
Perfect. Okay, so as you progress, you go to the gas man. So, Gillette Everham goes away. Yep. You go to
Ganassi. That was when the catch can man got removed during the choreography. So they went from 7 to 6.
Right.
And that put your gas man on an island right then and there in 2011.
And to be more important
was when your gas man became hold on a second. We're either going to send cars out with a half a tank, or we're going to get them full.
Because it's
huge.
Your plug-in time and how
so
it's flowing.
So you think about it, when those cars came in, old days, plug in, nonchalantly, you hand it to your catch can man, and the gas man goes back and nonchalantly grabs
another can,
catch can man's flowing fuel.
Right.
Guys come around and rear the car, then catch can man pulls the first can, gas man plugs in
again.
Ho-hum, no big deal.
Right.
Car's full, out she goes. Well, now, in 2011, the car comes in, bam, you're plugged in. I don't have anybody to hand it off to.
Right.
If I'm not there, it's not flowing.
Right.
So car's in, you've got about 5 seconds, and you've got to be out the way because that rear changer's coming. So that car drops, boom, you're flipping that can, and if you're not in position flowing, you're not flowing fuel.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm – was there not and it didn't last long. Didn't you guys set the can on a deck lid for them? Was there one little stent to that? Did they stop? I think they
stopped. Yeah, there was a stent. I remember when I was jacking, we used to set the right rear tire out on pit road because that would give us a little bit more room for the cars coming out. And then the can one to can two transition at one point, if it had fuel in it, because of limited personnel behind the wall, a lot of catch can guys would pull it and just lay it on the deck lid.
We were throwing it.
And rather than throwing it.
Yeah, because none of that. You're done with that.
So our viewers now, you're getting like the intricate details of how pit stops have evolved.
Absolutely.
In the last, let's say, 20 years. That's safe to say?
Yeah.
20 years, and you had to adapt and everything. And Warren was a catch can, and then that position was gone. And now you're talking about, Ed, how you have to plug in, get out of the way.
Plug in time. All that stuff was like critical.
Critical. Jeez. And you're doing 12, 13-second stops.
Yep, absolutely. And then the advent of the clutch gun came down a pipeline. Next thing you know, we're having 11-second stops on the norm. So you're flowing. And that was back when we were running also that hard tire. So you had full fuel runs.
Right.
And I remember it was norm to dump 18.3, 18.5 on full fuel runs. And the next thing you know.
Total gallons, right?
Yeah. 18.3, 18.5 gallons. Right. And next thing you know, we're running that hard tire. Next thing you know, here comes Michigan. And they start running Michigan. This is probably 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, Michigan, California, so many races. Then with that hard tire and with that aero package, everything started kind of lying out and spreading out. So we had a lot of green flag runs. And then your long runs ended up being, okay, well, we're going to run those races like a road course. So Michigan ended up being a true two or three pit stop race.
Yep.
And you had for every, you had to be at max fill every time. And I remember we won Michigan with Larson for his first win. And I remember looking back at my notes, and I dumped 18.5 on my first stop, like 18.3 my second stop, and like 18.4 or something on my third stop. And nothing, if it would have been less, you would have never had that strategy to do a road course style strategy where your lap is say 267 for a checkered, so you're back and your fuel runs up and your road course racing that.
Question, just random. What's the worst stop you ever had? Do you remember?
Worst stop.
Where you're like, I don't.
You
didn't
leave a can in or anything, get away.
Gassing or jacking?
Let's do both.
Either way. Did your jack ever go down?
Well, remember the dirt bag move back then was if you didn't like your jack, man, like the tire carrier, the changer would come by and loosen the handle. The set screw.
Oh, right, the set knob. Yeah, okay.
So the next thing you know, the car's coming down pit road. Rookie jack man picks the jack up, somebody had loosened the set knob on it, the handle comes out, jack falls down. Fortunately, that never happened. I always had the
So go ahead. So what was your worst jack, your stop?
Oh, geez. Probably my first stop when I was in development stages at Hendrick, starting with Jeff Gordon. I was pitting, getting my reps on Saturdays with Jason Keller.
There you go.
First stops in 97 was going over the wall, and absolutely didn't remember my first pit stop or two. And that was probably, what happened. I had these flimsy Simpson shoes on that had no business being over the wall. Had black Levi jeans on and a white generic button-up shirt and a headset. And that was my uniform going over the wall. I was before helmets.
You were the shiznit.
Oh, yeah. Before fire suits.
That was before fire suits and helmets.
You're busting your ass in gas and them crazy little Simpson shoes.
All right, so,
them things would get greasy. I know what shoes you're talking about.
All right, as a gas man, your worst stop ever.
I'm still gassing, so I haven't had too many of those.
Okay, got it.
Knock on wood.
Right.
Knock
on wood. Real wood.
I guess once my active career is over, we can start talking about that.
So did you ever lose a can down, everyone drag out?
Yeah, in a truck race I did.
Oh, okay.
But it was one of those things, you know, the really tight dry brakes. Yeah, any good pit crew guy can come up with excuses. The dry brake hole was really, really tight, you know?
I get it. No, I'm just trying to, because, you know.
I'm going to run and get my catch can real quick.
Go ahead, that's fine.
And then I'm going to tell a story. Ed'll like it.
So, the thing, because, you know, you've had all these great accomplishments. So, how many championships do you have in your craft?
97, 98, in 2017.
Okay.
And thought we were going to have one last year.
Right.
Came really, really close last year.
And Daytona 500, you have how many?
97, 98, and 2019.
He's gonna laugh at how big this is.
That's good. So this is an actual race use.
Yes.
Race use catch can. So we're bringing props out tonight, boy.
So what I would do before the race would start,
right,
is I would fill this up with fuel,
right,
and then put it on the 3-wheel cart, and then top off the smallest can, the lowest can we had.
Right.
So we'd have a can with the extra gallon.
Okay.
Just holds a gallon.
Okay. So
and then I would take this.
So
and
explain what's on the back of that. Go ahead.
So this would push the
right
the catch the, probe. The vent.
So let the vent open up, right?
Yep. And this vents the can. And I would take this. It's got a handle on it.
So you put the skid, the non-skid.
Yeah. Yep. And I would take this, and I would zip tie this.
Okay.
To my belt.
To your belt.
To my radio belt.
So,
I had it zip tied with four zip ties.
So
if the car was going, I was going with it, because I was never going to leave my
you're
stuff.
You're committed. Okay,
that happened.
So what's there's a story behind that. You made that.
So I made this. Yeah.
Okay. So what race was that used in?
The Daytona 500.
Which one? Warren?
2001. 2000. 2000. This is my whole career.
Right? Okay, that's it. So that is a Daytona 500 winning catch can. Is that
it's actually signed by
Mike Lagos.
Now, did you use that for the whole? Is that yours for the season?
Yeah, I made it, and then I just use it. And
so you guys at DEI, you guys had some pretty trick guys. I wasn't sure if that was your Speedway.
Slugger would always have me fill. Make sure you top that off before you go to pit road. Right. And I would set it in three wheel cart so it couldn't spill it in.
Right.
Top the can off, which they don't let you do no more.
Exactly.
And all I got my hard card taken away.
Shocking. All right, Ed. So now let's.
So you had like guys putting 14 gallons in one dump can.
So
you had a big can,
and the reason we did it, people say, well, why would you do that? You have enough fuel, and it's like, because then you could, if you only needed one can.
The two tire right side, right, but you're at a 14 gallon.
Yeah.
Everyone else having to take four tires, you're able to, if tire wear wasn't an issue, you're able to take
one can. Yeah.
So. We're talking some gas stuff over here.
Pudding. So you're rich.
So we got some
Pudding. What's up, big boy?
Michael Brill says, "How did you bust your knees at pit practice?"
Oh God, yes.
Okay, so that's Mike Brill asking questions.
That was a bad day.
Okay, so you're
we don't even talk about that anymore.
There you go. We're not going to talk about that.
God, I forgot.
Richard Coleman says they stopped letting gas men set the can on the deck lid once they realized teams were using that as an opportunity to cave in the deck lids, creating. Yeah. A boatload more downforce. So there you go.
Take the spoiler out of wind.
Thank Chad. I'm sure Chad Canales there. So. All right, so you're winning championships along the way.
Boatload.
Got it. We're getting there. I'm working up the segue. Thank you very much. So you're winning your championships. You're winning
I'm trying to build a kegway. It's a segue. Is it a keg? Right. Never mind.
Tris Chase said, Warren zip tied that to him so he could pull the spoiler down. 200, not lying there. Anyhow, so now you won your championships, your 500s with Denny. How many did you win with him?
2020.
Denny Hamlin. And now, let's catch up. Now you're with Bubba, the 23X11, right?
With Denny, yeah.
Like, that's good. And his
race team.
This weekend, you got a lot of TV time. We were like, hey, there's Eddie again. Every pit stop, there's Eddie.
Car was fast.
And you want a stage, so congrats on that.
Yeah.
What's Bubba like? I mean, you know, people, he's polarizing for a lot of reasons.
Sure.
But I mean, you're there with him. You're watching him. Right? You're part of the team.
First impressions, great guy. Very humble.
Yep.
Very sincere. And all the qualities that a teammate endures. It's he seems like he's a very team oriented individual, and you got to respect him for that. You got to respect for what he's done with the sport. You got to respect for what he's brought and the viewership that he's brought to the sport, and I can't say enough good things about him.
And we all definitely know he's trying, and he's got a lot of pressure on him.
Sure,
big shoes, big
expectation. Yeah. That's a very, very tough situation when you're still growing and developing, and you get into a situation where it's expectations.
Your owners are Michael Jordan, 3-time Daytona 500 champion Denny Hamlin. And by the way, you're filled with Joe Gibbs Racing.
Exactly.
There's just a couple of names there. You know, pit coach of the couple. What did he win? Oh, yeah. Super Bowl.
Right.
So, I mean, I get that. So, okay. So, as if you don't have enough going on in your life, all the stuff you decided a couple years ago, hey, I want to get in the boating business.
I did. So, basically took everything I own and pawned it up as collateral to the bank and went out, jumped off the cliff, took the parachute off, and bought a boat dealership, and it has been an endeavor that I just enjoy every day.
It's how many years you've had it now?
That was January 17 when I took ownership of it.
Okay.
And it's been a blast. It's just been great. I see the fulfillment. Here's a good one. You always think of pressure. For me as a gas man, what is pressure? Pressure's coming up on that last pit stop of the Daytona 500. And you're leading the damn race, and it's coming up to a fuel critical situation where it's what you call your get home lap. So lap 181 is your get home lap, and if you get it full, you can make it to the end, and you're leading Daytona 500.
The money stop.
I always thought that was pressure. Being an entrepreneur and a businessman, that is pressure, but I love it. I embrace it. I love the leadership qualities that it presents and it brings. I love building a team. And we came from just being, when I took over, just a sleepy little bass boat dealership in Denver, North Carolina, to becoming the fastest growing boat dealership in the Southeast with awesome brands. Sea Pro Center Console, Stingray, Deck Boats and Runabouts, Ranger Bass Boats, G3 Aluminum, and G3 Suncatcher Pontoons and Tritons. and we went from one motor manufacturer to the big boys, all of them.
Really?
So we got Suzuki, we got Yamaha, we got Mercury. So
you're also sponsoring professional fishermen.
We got pro staff guys. We got Todd Otten, runner up in the Daytona 500 of bass fishing in 2020, right. Which is the Bassmaster Classic.
Yep.
He was the runner up in the Bassmaster Classic of 2020. And how humbling is that when you see the dude holding up his fish with the fireworks going off as runner-up of the Bassmaster Classic with your logo
right there on his race day shirt,
which is his sponsored tournament shirt. But there was his logo and stuff. But we got a very, very good pro staff team. But, you know, the best pontoon boats, center consoles, offshore center consoles, and deck boats, bay boats, you name it.
So you're successful in college. I always say this when people ask, you know, you learned how to be successful in life, period. You know, you're successful in college, you're successful in NASCAR, and, you know, you had to work your tail off to be successful in this boating thing, but you know how to be the winner, and you're doing it. So, you know, it's not, stuff doesn't happen overnight.
No.
And I applaud you for what you're doing. I really do, because I like to say there is life after NASCAR, you know, and you're proof of it.
You're doing it while you're doing NASCAR.
Yeah.
It's even better. So I know Richard Coleman says, Big Ed is another fantastic example of teammate and leader in racing. I've always looked up to him, and not because he's a foot taller than me.
Well, and how many kids have you taught?
Yeah,
I'll tell you about damn good tire care, Richard Coleman.
Yeah, good tire care?
Freaking. First time I ever saw a rear end housing get thrown out of alignment was when he threw the right rear tire in on pit road during a green flag stop. That was just a tire care. If you're hitting it that hard, nothing but studs,
right?
And you're hitting it so hard you can see the car just moving on the jack. That was Puddin', or right. Richard Coleman, throwing indexes on his tires.
Good. So, first of all, and I know you, on a personal side, is your wife has been through a battle with cancer and everything.
Correct.
And we've been following along, Vonda, right?
Yep.
And how she,
she's got some incredible people that are taking care of her at Wake Forest. Right. The best cancer research and best cancer research in the world. They're very cutting edge, and that's what impressed me about Wake Forest. So when unfortunate news hit that she had cancer, we knew we had to go and what we needed to do. And I can't thank the people at Wake Forest for doing what they're doing and keeping her life in the best means possible for being able to enjoy her children.
So we keep we keep following on.
Absolutely.
You can win everything you want on the track. Excuse me, I'm just kidding. But life's going to throw you those curveballs.
Absolutely.
And you guys have been very open about it. And I give you a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Warren, take over here soon.
All right. So do you rent?
Where are you located?
We are in Denver, North Carolina.
Denver? My bread and butter is sales and service.
Okay.
I'm going to get into the rental side, but not yet, because everything I've got on the lot, including the gravel,
right,
I've sold.
Right.
Okay.
So
business is really good.
Business is booming.
That's good.
Business is booming.
So would you rent to Warren and I for a weekend?
As long as I can come. That's part of it. I gotta be the first mate, just so I can't miss out.
I love racing, not only can you go with us, you can just let you drive.
Yeah, I was in the Navy. I was driving those boats.
Anyways, so
as you're going through now, you have some guys. You're in the service industry too.
So I
want to touch upon this because, and you have had success, and you realize, hey, there's guys out here that have. The sport has changed, and a lot of us have been kicked to the curb.
Are you working on ex-NASCAR guys who work?
Right, and so he has, let's hear it. Your service shop, you can walk in and find
some of the best road crew mechanics and pit crew guys that have ever been in racing, multiple championships, multiple winnings, best tire changers, best road crew mechanics.
You can name them off.
Give us a couple.
Yeah, give us a couple. We have a very large audience right now.
You know, we're talking about team sports.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And how it,
Would they follow you?
I am nothing if it wasn't for these guys.
Right.
Just like, you know.
But they also wanted to come work for you, probably because you left a mark on their soul.
I can't say enough about these guys. Mike Lingerfelt.
Absolutely.
Aaron Powell. Mm-hmm. You know, I got Eric from Joe Gibbs Racing down there. He's leading up my whole detail department. So we, of course, make the our sole boats the prettiest.
Yeah.
And we retail sell. So anybody that comes in with a boat that's been neglected, we do retail work to generate a fine product for the customer to go back. They might not want to do business with me to sell it, but they can get, of course, you just need to get it cleaned up. So bring your boat to us. We do plenty of details and stuff like that.
Lingerfelt is a legendary
legend.
Legend.
Absolute legend. Absolute legend.
I mean, I was in a possibly a drinking establishment with him one night. He's not much bigger than me.
Right.
He's maybe 5'8".
He's a bulldog. He's got shoulders.
We were hitting
the inverted pyramid.
We're hitting his bag. We're hitting his punching bag.
The vending. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he ruined it. I think I could get it up to 800. He got it past 1,000.
You can see how lug nuts come off so fast. Yeah, you got jackhammers going.
Yeah, he's an animal, and he's a great guy.
He's my general manager. Very humble. It's an honor and privilege, and it's an absolute honor. He has done an incredible job for us. Mm-hmm. He's done an incredible job of helping build the team that we have at Watkins Marine.
Would you see if he would like to come on our show?
Oh, it'd be an honor. Oh, yeah, he really would. I'll pass that.
Pass that on to him.
He's another great. He's an absolute great. Tons of stories.
Oh, my God.
The thing on our show is that we like to
championship tire changer for the 48 for
absolutely.
I think all, almost all of them.
And so, like we talk about, the sport does its deal, but through you and what you purchased this marine business, now all of a sudden you're giving people, give them a chance.
Yep.
So you're keeping employed, you know, food on the table and pride in what they're doing.
So we're growing, and we're growing in the right way. We're growing with a solid, solid selection of brands. You got to have a good selection of brands.
Absolutely.
We got an awesome, for every pontoon, center console, bass boat, runabout, deck boat is the top brand in that particular segment. And we've got them. I've got in the service department Al Stoker, 50-year. He's the Ray Evernham of race boats. If everybody knows Steve D'Souza.
Yeah.
Steve D'Souza, GM at the Xfinity program for Joe Gibbs Racing. His crew chief, when Steve won all those Formula One World Championships for Interstate, remember he was driving the Interstate F1 powered boat. Al Stoker was his crew chief and competitor as well, too. So Al goes way back. The man is one of those guys where you're looking at an Evinrude outboard, Mercury outboard, and walking encyclopedia can identify that injector, spit the 8-digit part number out, tell you which one was superseded and what the new part number was.
Right.
But the man is just a living legend. So he's one of my techs, surrounded by a raw group of attention to detail, very successful team guys from NASCAR, and it's just making some incredible operation.
Well, you know, if like Ray did, you surround yourself with good people.
Exactly.
You'll have a good business.
So Ian Moy here says, from your
day,
he says, Big Daddy won my first race with him at Homestead in 2015. One of the absolute best people in the sport.
There I love go. Ian, absolutely.
He's a good kid, man.
Tom B awesome. Says, God bless your wife, Ed.
Thank
Steph
you,
Shoot, prayers for you guys. Richard Coleman, people always follow quality leadership. Perfect example, Big Ed Watkins. Keep up the fantastic work, Big Daddy. I will always be proud to say I got to work with you. So I'm telling you, you leave your mark in the sport, and it's the work you do, and you can say, I got this championship, I've got this. But you know what? If you're a shitty person,
then
people remember that
too. They remember that too.
We usually don't have mine.
Right, no, we don't have we have one on. We're going to that right now.
All those years of racing, was the teammates are what makes it. I remember, you know, in the early days of Evernham Motorsports, they were not the easy days. We were basically coming in at 7, and we were working for multiple years. We didn't know we were going home. I remember those first 2 years, you would come in, you didn't know when you were going home.
Call them half days.
How do you be? How do you become successful in racing? You work half
days. Half days.
Well, what's a half day in racing?
It's a 7 to 7 at least.
a full half day.
12 hours.
24 hours in a day. You work a half day. It's 12 hours.
So it's a mathematical thing. Yeah.
So we work
a half day.
We work half days, 7 days a week. Right, and that was on a good note. Yeah. This day I cannot stomach a Papa John's pizza because we would work so late. About 7:30. If at 7:30. That was the time that dictated if you're going to about midnight. If you saw Papa John's pizzas coming in, you just signed up for a full pour.
Garlic sauce and pepperoncini.
So you saw Papa John's at 7:30 in the break room, and you were there till about midnight.
And I'm at a point now in my life where I'd rather eat the cardboard box than the pizza from Papa John's. You know, just dip the cardboard
there
in
there goes
the
our Papa John's sponsorship.
We ain't getting one of them anymore.
But we're still having a sponsorship. If you have another pizza,
we got to make a Papa John's.
I like the Papadias.
So Ed, we have some room if you want to sponsor. Anyhow,
Ed so, Watkins Marine.
That's it.
Your go-to for all your service and sales needs.
Keep it up. That's good.
At the pub.
Pub table racers. You heard the clock go, the Martinsville clock. I want to tell you thank you for coming on.
Absolutely.
Your story is amazing. Football. You took that teamwork concept. Then you said, I'm going to go work in racing. And he's done it. I've done it. You just give up. And you're like, I'm going to go. And you take crappy ass things.
Right.
Low paying. You do stuff for free.
That's what it took.
And you did
had
it.
To get your
but
foot
you know
in
what?
The door.
Right now, you are, here we all are 20 something years later. I've had the lows. We've all.
Right.
But in the end, it's just, if you keep working, it's going
to
go.
I like to see this. Ed is definitely one of dying breeds. He had to be a floor sweeper and a mechanic and a picker guy. And now there's just these picker guys, and they think they can get a pretty haircut and they think they can just come on Sunday and, you know, not have to fix the car or know what the car is all about. And there's a dying breed here, you know, and he's definitely part of that, where hopefully the guys that you get to work with, you get to train them a little bit. And, you know, you said it earlier. A guy don't know a pop rivet from a Phillips head screw.
Sure.
You know, and we're glad you do, you know. And I thank you for coming.
Thank you.
It's an honor. We appreciate it. Awesome.
I ran a beer slide to the toast at the end.
Can I finish?
You can go, definitely.
So, one thing I want to say,
this isn't like us tuning our own horn, but these are guys, there's what, 60 plus years of experience right here. The one thing you never hear out of any of our mouths is, that's not
right. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
That's just where
it is our job. It is our job to have guys like you on here. To
guaranteed exit for any race team is to say, it's not my job.
Exactly.
Or to show up late to work.
Yeah, you should never be late. Not my job. Checks in the mail.
Great show for some of those race teams. Should we say goodnight?
Good night, Dave.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you. See you next week. Wow. Hey, another great show.
Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in.
We appreciate it. We do this every Tuesday night. And Warren, I think the guests we've had have been fantastic.
Phenomenal.
And the people that are following us, we appreciate it. We're reaching 42,000 people a month. Can you believe that? And we appreciate you watching.
Right. We're having fun. Hope everybody else enjoys it.
That's it. And it's just a fun show. Bucket of beer. Guys sitting around talking about it. So keep tuning in. We appreciate it. Check out our store and everything. But we appreciate you people. And we will see you next week. Right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you next week.